Our study continues in this third chapter of Joshua. We're down to the 11th verse now. And the occasion is the people are preparing to cross over the Jordan River. They're going to be led down into this Jordan River by the priests who are bearing the Ark of the Covenant. And so the 11th verse says, "Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan." So they would be led by the Ark of the Covenant. And as he said earlier, they would follow this ark at a distance of about 3,000 feet, so they would have a good distance between them and the ark until, of course, it got into the River Jordan itself. Verse 12, "Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man." Now he doesn't say at this point exactly what the purpose of calling these 12 men out is, but they will be used by Joshua to help carry out his administrative work. But each tribe would be represented by a man, which lets us know that authority was going to be equally distributed, so that each tribe would have a representative. And this is an interesting insight to the way that the government of God worked. Verse 13, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap." Now, this is a very fascinating miracle. The waters were not going to change until the soles of the feet of the priests that were bearing the ark of the Lord should rest in the waters. So they were going to wade off into this water before anything had changed. And this would be somewhat a test of their faith, a test of their willingness to go on through with this crossing of the Jordan. And consequently, they would apparently see no miracle until they had done their part. That it was to wade off into the waters of the Jordan River carrying this Ark of the Covenant. Verse 14, "And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho." Now this is a short account of the crossing of the Jordan River. It's not gilded with a lot of description and language, just as gold doesn't have to be painted in order to see its true value and benefit. But this is an account of a very, very great miracle. We'd like to go back and look at some of the things that are said here. "As they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest." This was the time of year when the snows were melting rapidly on the mountains of Lebanon. Particularly we think of Mount Hermon, and these waters were draining off into the Lake Hula and on down to the Lake Galilee, and they formed a lot of water coming down the Jordan River. The river was overflowing all its banks at this time. This was the time of harvest. It was the time of the barley harvest. So we know that it was the springtime of the year. There were other times of the year in which this river dried up to just a very small stream, and some have even described it as having times when it dried up into stagnant pools. Now God could have chosen that time of year for their crossing. He could have chosen a time when it would have been very easy to have gotten across the Jordan and not required much of a miracle at all. Maybe no miracle, they could have gotten across. But no, he chose the time of year in which it was overflowing all his banks. and it did it all the time of harvest. So this was the time when the river was flooding. It was a torrent coming down. It was very wide, and it would have been most difficult to have made a crossing, especially the men carrying the Ark of the Covenant walking across. But he let them walk and get their feet into the water before he made the waters to stop. Then verse 16 says that the waters which came down from up above stood and rose up on a heap very far from the city Adam. Now, he could have done a lot of things. God could have caused this water to have frozen and they gone across on ice. He could have caused an earthquake to have happened, which has happened in this area, and cut off the waters from up above and made them dry up. But we don't have to have some kind of explanation that we can take apart and scientifically examine to know what happened. God caused a miracle. It's as though an invisible dam built up here and suddenly stopped the waters. Now, when they crossed over the Red Sea, the waters parted and they went through with water standing on both sides of them. But this is a different situation here. As they cross over this, Jordan, the waters stop on one side, which would be their right-hand side, or the north side, and they built up, he says, upon a heap. Now, it seems as though these waters, instead of just having a dam and they overflowed and went all around the dams on both sides of the banks, that the waters more or less congealed and they piled up, went up on a heap. And then on the left-hand side, they drained on off down toward the Dead Sea, and that water drained out and was the bed then of the river was dry. And he says that this heap rose up very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaretan. Now, we don't know exactly where Adam is. Adam was a city on the banks of the Jordan River, evidently. And we don't know exactly where Zaretan is. But that was a reference point to those who would know where the city was as to how far these waters piled up on this heap. And then he says, those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. So that the waters to their left then drained on off and failed to run. There was no more water to run. And then the people passed right over against Jericho. That is, the people passed over at the nearest point of the river to Jericho. And Jericho, of course, was going to be the first encounter they would have with the conquering of the land. Now, as they passed over against Jericho, those who have been in that part of the country talk about what a beautiful area this is, how productive, how desirable it is to live in that very region. No doubt this gave the people a lot of encouragement. Here they were, at last, finally in the land. They had made the crossing. They were heading towards Jericho. Of all the years of waiting and all the years of trial and suffering and all the people who had died and who did not make this crossing, the people finally passed right over against Jericho. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So the Ark of the Covenant then, it was borne by the priest, didn't just cross all the way over Jordan, but it went into the middle of the river, and they stopped and held it there, standing on dry ground, and they stayed there until all the people had passed over. Now this probably took several hours for them to pass over this Jordan River, because there were many, many people. Yet, this ark was a sign of the power of God, a reminder that it was truly God's power that was holding this river back, that was making this crossing possible. It was not some freak of nature, but it was actually God who was bringing this thing about. And, of course, the people were passed clean over Jordan, which is a very self-explanatory phrase describing the fact that they all made it over okay. Now, as we think of the crossing of the Jordan River, we're reminded of one of the greatest of the prophets, Elijah. Just before he was taken from this earth, he and his successor, Elisha, came to this Jordan River, probably at about this same place. And Elijah took his mantle and he smote the waters, and he and Elisha were allowed then to cross over on dry ground. When they got over on the other side, then he was caught up by a whirlwind and taken from this earth so that he did not have to die. And then Elisha took his mantle and smote the waters again, and he was allowed to cross back over on dry ground. So these waters have let the people of God cross before in the persons of Elijah and Elisha. And then we think of a later time when a man named John the Baptist, who was a type of Elijah, he was a return of the prophet Elijah in a figurative sense. Here he was on the banks of this very same Jordan, in this very same area, preaching the gospel or the lesson of repentance. He was preparing the way for the Savior. And while he was preaching here, while he was teaching the people and telling them to repent, our Savior did come to John the Baptist to be baptized of him. And so our Savior was baptized in these same waters of the Jordan River. And this same Jordan River is a type to us today of our crossing over as we have made our long trip through the wilderness, the church in the wilderness, and we're ready then to cross over into the promised land and into the land of rest, which will be our abode after death. We then too come to this Jordan River, which is symbolic of death. And we have to make that crossing before we can get into the land of Canaan, before we can enter the land of rest. And of course, we have to have God to help us to make the crossing. We then allow God, through our faith in Him and our obedience to Him, we allow God to assist us as we make the crossing of this Jordan River in its figurative sense, which represents death to us. And of course, death separates us from the heavenly land. And this death, of course, is the last enemy that shall be destroyed. It shall be destroyed. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead. But as we think of the people of God crossing over the Jordan River, entering into the land of Canaan, then we are very pleased to know that this is a type of our life and our crossing as we look then to get into the true city of God, that heavenly place. Now let's notice that they've crossed over here against Jericho. This is going to cause the people of Jericho, the king of Jericho and his forces, to be afraid. Here they are now being invaded. And instead of this people having to make their way on rafts or boats or whatever to get across the river just stops and lets them cross on dry ground. Now, this should strike terror into the heart of anybody who is opposing a force that has this kind of power. These people had the power of God. God could bring about whatever needed to be brought about to carry out His will. And this is one of the great miracles, one of the great miracles of all time. God allowing His people to cross over the Jordan River while it was overflowing its banks, and yet He made the waters stop. They crossed on dry ground, and it's a true act of faith. It is also a true miracle of God. So now we have the people in the land of Canaan and ready to start carrying out the commands of Joshua, who is being led by God, as to what to do to go ahead and be able to occupy the land and to rout those other nations out who really did not belong there. Now we're ready to move into the fourth chapter of Joshua.